This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. Time for a new episode of The Week in Iceland. My guest is my colleague here at RÚV Ingiborg, Sara Guðmundsdóttir. Inga Sara, hello.
Hello.
Good to talk to you once again.
Yeah, you too.
And I've been on holiday, sumarfri.
Yes, sumarfri, yeah.
For the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's been maybe quite eventful for the summertime.
Yes.
So we have an eruption.
Well, let's start there because, yes, something did erupt.
Yeah.
I was speaking to another of my colleagues, Margaret, who looks after the Polish desk, who was saying that the night before the eruption, which would have been last Tuesday, there was a volcanologist, I forget which one, who had said, oh, yeah, well, we're not expecting an eruption here on Reykjanes again until the autumn.
Yeah.
And then 6 hours later...
it happened. Yeah, that's exactly what... It has happened quite a while now because quite some times now because we always think it's not going to happen yet, but then when we say that, it always happens.
Yes. So we should, if we don't want it to happen, we should say it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it won't. So this came as a surprise. They it always did. Do to an extent, I suppose, but this one really did. And as we have our conversation just after 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, current state of play is, it's not over yet, is it, the eruption?
No, it's still bubbling. The lava is still bubbling in the craters, and we have many people that are maybe listening that live here in the southwest.
Yes.
We have volcanic smog or volcanic haze.
Yes. Well, this is what the story's become, because the eruption itself, I think, it went off in quite a good area.
It did.
It didn't damage infrastructure. People in Grindavik were able to return quite soon afterwards. People were back in the Blue Lagoon pretty quickly too.
Yeah.
So all of that's fine.
Yeah.
But the difference this time, and the thing that is causing problems, is, as you say, the volcanic smog, the volcanic haze, the pollution.
Yeah, the pollution.
And it looks like a December afternoon out here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's got doomsday vibes. We've got just a grey haze over everything.
Yes.
And it's a combination of fog and the pollution.
Hmm.
And we can see it, like, it drops down here to the city and all over.
We should say that, I mean, we're safe. You know, we're not wandering around with gas masks on or anything like that. However, because there's so much of this that it's causing irritation even for people who are not usually sensitive to it.
Yeah. People can, if you go outside, and people can find, can have irritation in their eyes and their throat. But it's not toxic gas. So if you don't do any straining physical activities, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But it's better to stay inside. And of course, children and older people and those who have maybe some diseases or something.
Yes.
They should maybe be inside.
And as we speak, it is getting a bit windier because there's been no wind for the last few
days.
That's
the
why
problem.
It's not moved.
Yeah.
So hopefully, as this afternoon proceeds, some of that will be blown away. But I mean, this morning I was in the pool at Lloydoslog at 8:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And if you look on the map, and there's a link to the air quality map and one of the stories published today on RÚV English, you can see that at 8 o'clock this morning, 9 o'clock this morning, there was a big red mark right over Lloydoslog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt fine. I was outside. I wasn't partaking in any particularly strenuous activity. I was just lying there in the pools.
Yeah.
But, it is something that is affecting more people than usual.
Yes, and we notice it more because in the last few eruptions, or really in all of the eruptions till this time.
Yes.
We have, as we were talking about the wind, it's been more windy and the wind direction has been north, so it's blowing just over, maybe over Grindavik, which is not good, but over the sea. So, but now it's just because there's slow winds and it kind of sits here over everything because it's not really moving.
And it's drifted as far, very slowly, as East Greenland.
Yes, it
has. Which is incredible. So if you're on the east coast of Greenland, of course, there is not any volcanic activity on Greenland, as far as I'm aware. But they're nonetheless getting the effects of ours.
Yeah, that's amazing. And and also this weekend, I mean, there was the haze was in Vestfjords and in Vestfirðir.
Yes, and that's some distance from where
that's
we are.
Really a lot of distance, and in the north as well. So it has an effect on almost everyone here in Iceland.
And the usual thing we have to say at this point is if you're planning a trip to Iceland, if you're expecting to fly into the country or indeed out of it anytime soon, these eruptions do not affect the airport.
Yes.
There was absolutely no impact whatsoever on flights when this happened, and there hasn't been since.
No, there hasn't been. And there's no ash, involved in these eruptions that we're seeing here, but there's only pollution, but that's... doesn't hinder flights or anything like that. So that's good.
So come to Iceland, enjoy the hot pots, enjoy the pools.
Yes.
When I was away on holiday on Sumatra, we were in South Africa, where I'd never been before, because I wanted to escape the stinking heat of an Icelandic summer, because it's been so punishingly hot, hasn't it, in the last couple of weeks. And it was colder in Cape Town, but you can swim in the tidal pools.
Yeah.
In Cape Town. And they're a couple of degrees warmer than the cold pots here in Iceland. If you go to an Icelandic swimming pool, you've got the hot pots, of course. But you've got the cold pots, which are about 4, 5, 6 degrees, something like that.
Something like
that. The tidal pools are maybe 8 or 9 degrees.
Wow.
And the locals in Cape Town thought I was mad for swimming in them during the winter. I'm saying, no, this is warmer than the cold pots in Iceland. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We're made of stern stuff. Something else that takes us back to, I guess, the beginning of last week, really, was the storm, you could say, never mind the stormy weather or lack of it here in Iceland, but the storm in Althingi in the Parliament over the debate on fishing fees.
Yeah.
And this filibuster that went on for how long?
It went on for 4 weeks, which is the longest ever.
Uh-huh.
So usually the parliament is on sumarfri, it's on summer break during July and August. But you have to, politicians have to decide when to leave it and finish. But there was a filibuster with the minority over the fishing laws, and it was quite dragged on.
It certainly
We could say.
So basically, this fishing law change, I mean, there's more to it than this, but it was about taxing the bigger companies more, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there was, I guess the people behind the bill would say, a fairer distribution of funds.
Yeah.
A lot of the more traditional parties, again, you might say in Iceland, Independence Party being one, were behind this filibuster. They were very much opposed to this.
Yeah.
But even though these parties together did not have the numbers in Parliament and never would have had the numbers in Parliament, they kept filibustering. They kept trying to delay the inevitable, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true, because as you said, they don't have a sufficient number of MPs to vote to stop the bill, so they just decided to
keep talking
and trying to get their point across, and it ended in some were calling it the nuclear button, which was the Article 71 of the Constitution, which allows the president of Althingi to
the speaker
of Althingi to just stop the discussion and head straight to a vote. And of course, the vote passed.
Yes, as was always going to be the case.
Yeah.
So this is, I think you would call it a guillotine, I suppose, in parliamentary terms, to end a filibuster, to end a debate.
And it has only been done once before in 1960 or 59, I think.
Yeah, but a long time ago.
A really long time ago. And it's only used... It isn't, it's rare that it's used. It's not traditional to use it.
But do we get lots of filibusters then in Iceland? It sounds like it's quite easy to to do one.
Yeah. It has become more common these last few years. We saw it with Orkupakki 3. It's called, it was an amendment or law from something about we had to continue with the European Union laws or somehow implement that.
Yes, yes. Because Iceland is not part of the EU.
No.
It is part of the EEA. We'll come to that actually in a future conversation. Yes.
Yeah. So they have done it sometimes before, the minority, and especially Miðflokkurinn, the center party. They have used this trick then, and there's nothing in the laws of the parliament that prohibits this.
And the only thing that can stop it is the guillotine if the speaker says, dear God, enough.
Yeah.
You've been talking for weeks.
And unless they are able to make an arrangement that come to an arrangement, the minority and the majority, which was not the case this time.
Has it changed any minds, do you think? It obviously didn't in the parliament, but I guess the purpose of the filibuster was to try to persuade people outside who were watching.
I don't think so, according to polls at least.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed many things, so you question what it achieved.
So politicians are now in recess at home resting their voices.
Yes, I think they're preparing for the fall. And they're also warning, because they used this Article 71, they're warning that this is, it put a bad taste in their mouths.
Before the recess.
Yeah, it might not be as peaceful of a parliament when they come back.
No. Okay, so well, we touched on the European Union there.
Yeah.
Ursula von der Leyen, who's the president of the European Commission, was in Iceland, visiting Iceland, launching talks on a new security agreement. And she arrived on the day of the eruption, didn't she? I think.
She did. She arrived the day after.
The day after?
Yeah.
Okay, so she flew in and I think she went to see Grindavík, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And she flew over the eruption and saw it.
Yes. And this is all about plans for bilateral security talks between Iceland and the EU. As we said, Iceland, of course, is not in the EU, but it is part of the EEA, or the single market.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of the benefits, I guess, of EU membership.
Yeah.
But not the say.
Exactly.
In those laws.
Yeah.
As some people would see it, certainly. So what was decided here? What was discussed?
Well, they discussed Kristrún Frostadóttir, the Prime Minister. She went for a sightseeing trip with Ursula. And then they discussed the defence agreement. And because Iceland is also part of NATO.
Indeed, yeah.
And also strategically important, just by geographically as well.
Yes.
So, and of course, Iceland doesn't have any army. So we are dependent on other people to protect us. And they decided in this meeting that Iceland would gain access to the SAFE program, and that which gives fund to security and defense investments, which means here in Iceland mainly cybersecurity, because as you said, we don't have any army, but also investment in the defense base at Keflavíkurflugvöllur. We have where the United States Army used to be.
Yes.
We have a security space there, if you could call it that, where other nations come to. Then they have access to that that area.
Of course, that airport used to be the NATO. If you go back far enough, it was the NATO base, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was
a military airport.
Yeah, it was a military airport.
Yeah.
In when the army was here.
Yes, so changed a lot since then.
It has. It's become more international.
And actually, something we didn't plan to talk about today, but that astonishing story from yesterday, as it turns out, of someone stealing a car.
Yeah.
Stealing an airport car, having somehow got onto the runway area, got onto the apron at least of the airport, stealing an official car belonging to the airport authorities, driving it around the apron, and then escaping the airport with it.
Yeah, and onto the I think he went onto the
runway.
Runway as well. Yeah, yeah. But the police are saying they take this very seriously and are investigating this.
Yes, and we're just learning more about that story as the day goes on, which is why we're not discussing it in detail. But one to watch, certainly. A lot of people have been reading the story in Roof English and commenting with those emojis with the shocked face. Because that's how you feel when you hear that story, isn't it? You feel shocked.
Yeah,
it's a shocked face emoji story.
Yeah, it's it's also just because of security reasons. You aren't supposed to get in there. You shouldn't be able to get in there just as a regular citizen.
Well, how many times are you checked? You know, from the time you enter the airport to the time you get on the plane, at least three.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah,
your documents are checked. You've got to scan your security pass, your boarding pass, to get through security.
Yeah,
you've got to get through security.
Right.
You've got to show your passport at the gate.
Yeah,
and before that, if you are traveling outside of Schengen, you've got to show it at another occasion as well.
Right.
So being able to just get onto the runway.
Yeah,
and take a car, and then to escape the airport.
Yeah. That's really serious, and I think they're looking very seriously into it because it could have been very dangerous.
It could have been very dangerous indeed. Luckily, it wasn't. Now, let's turn to a story that actually makes me still itch a bit, because when I was a kid, I was fantastically allergic to giant hogweed.
Yeah.
I would have to walk past it on my way to school, and by the time I got to school, I was just covered in this horrible, itchy rash, and it would go away within 10 minutes. But I just had this hyper allergy to giant hogweed, which exists in Reykjavik. Happily, I'm not allergic to it anymore.
No.
But I certainly was. Just being in its presence made me feel really, really horrible.
Yeah.
Reykjavik City planning to eradicate giant hogweed, which is a pest of a plant, isn't it?
It's a weed. Is.
It is a weed.
It is a weed, yeah.
Yes.
It is. And they're planning to, completely remove it. Or that's at least what they want to do, because they are an invasive plant and also take over everything else, because then other plants can't grow and stuff like that. So that's really, they can be a bit of a nuisance.
I would think so. You see a lot of it in Vesturbier, but it's also in Grafarvogur.
Yeah.
And in Breiðholt as well.
Yeah.
And really hard to get rid of because they just outlive and out-survive everything else, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But they are, because you have to be very careful when you're handling them, because they have toxins in them. And if you're not careful, you could, if they get in contact, especially with ice, you could lose eyesight. So you have to be very careful.
The toxins are activated by sunlight.
Yes.
So ironically, today would be quite a good day to try to get rid of them. If you're not, you know, sensitive to the toxins from the gas,
yes,
then you can use the cover with the lack of sunlight to get rid of the giant hogweed. And there's an explanation and advice on how to safely do this on the official website of the city as well.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it would be good to get rid of it.
Horrible stuff.
Yes.
You know what else is horrible? Cooked shark. I love this story.
Shark in general.
this story still, I love it, but it makes me feel slightly ill.
Yes, I agree.
A farmer and a guest house owner in Herath, which is in the east of Iceland, have been trying to remove the stench of cooked shark from their facilities in recent days because tourists apparently, I don't know how you do this, accidentally cooked shark in the guest house.
I've been thinking about this story as well, and I can't comprehend how they came to this conclusion to cook the shark. I don't understand why and how, and to top it all, they decided to fry it with garlic.
Yeah, so what's the one thing you can do to make this stuff smell even worse? Fry it in garlic.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's worse, the shark or the garlic or both of them together.
Apparently they thought, or they were planning to cook whale meat.
Yeah, but whale meat doesn't even look like shark meat.
No, it really doesn't. And there's a lot of differences between whale and shark
meat.
One of them is that one of them doesn't stink.
Yeah, exactly.
A strong smell lingered in the accommodation, as you might imagine.
Yes.
It's taken 3 weeks and lots of cleaning to get rid of the stench.
Yeah. I'm not even sure. Maybe you have to just take everything out, strip the whole thing down.
And is this shark then shark meat that's been, you know, putrefied in the same way as the haukart that you can buy in the supermarkets that people eat a tiny little cube of it with brennivine? It's and the same stuff.
I think so, because
it's the worst smell.
That's the worst smell ever. And you usually don't get like if we could call it fresh shark meat here.
No.
And the fermented ones are usually just chopped into little cubes and sold in like small containers.
Mm.
And the smell is horrible.
Yeah, it's not nice. We had friends staying from the UK in February, I think it was, and one of them was determined to try the shark meat because he'd heard so much about it. So, fair enough.
He
bought a little tub of it, as you can in the supermarkets here. It costs about 1,100 kroner, I think. Maybe, I don't know, what's that, €6, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's not hugely expensive if you don't like it, which he didn't.
Yeah.
Had a little taste of it, thought it was fine for about 10 seconds, and then sort of convulsed in horror and grabbed for a glass of water or anything to try and take the taste away. So imagine that. With garlic.
It's just, it must be so horrible.
Stinking the place out. The tourists were very sorry for the incident, and other travellers in the area were, however, not too happy with what was an honest mistake. The shark ended up in the bin.
Yeah.
No one tasted it except for the dog. Must have been a Labrador, because they'll eat anything.
Yeah. And he probably had very bad breath afterwards.
I would think there's not a dog you want to get close to.
No.
At the best of times.
But
so, yeah, 3 weeks is how long it takes to get rid of that. So there's our top consumer advice today.
Yeah.
If you're a tourist in Iceland, don't accidentally cook shark meat in your Airbnb. Or I'm not sure it was an Airbnb, the rented accommodation that these people were
in. Yeah. Don't cook fermented shark.
Because we have lots of nice food here.
Yeah,
exactly.
And lots of nice fish yes. things. So yes. Why not just have cod or something like that?
Go to a restaurant. Go to a place where you can trust that someone's going to cook what you actually think you're going to get. And you'll have a wonderful time.
Exactly.
And you won't stink out your accommodation for the next 3 weeks. And I think on that note, we shall conclude our conversation.
Yes.
Inga Saara, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
As ever, this is Roof English Radio. My name is Darren Adam. You can get in touch with us anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.